آمين يا رب العالمين. الله give us all توفيق. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته to all our wonderful listeners. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us for his deen. We were discussing the Sahaba kiram رضي الله عنهم and their connection to the holy lands of Asham and Palestine. We were discussing this great Sahabi, Hazrat Abu Jandal. Now, subhanAllah, how his father had locked him up in the dungeon and how he protected his iman and how his brother made a plan to participate in the expedition of Badr. But actually, he ran to the side of the Muslims. So he just used that as a strategy to get rid of his father's clutches. Then we mentioned recently the Sahabi who used to go to Makkah and rescue the Muslims who were incarcerated in the dungeons of Makkah Mukarramah. So subhanAllah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has just freed our brothers who were tortured in the dungeons of the tyrannical ruler of Sham, of Syria. Alhamdulillah. Allah make it easy for the Ummah. Allah accept the martyrdom of those who were tortured and gave their lives under such a tyrannical regime. There was another Sahabi with Hazrat Abu Jandal, and he was Abu Basir radiallahu anhu. Now what was interesting about Abu Jandal, he remained in imprisonment for many years thereafter. Other Sahaba who were rescued got out of the clutches of the Meccans, like we mentioned how Hazrat Marthad rescued them, and we discussed chastity recently when we discussed Hazrat Marthad radiallahu anhu. But Abu Jandal was still in the dungeon under his father's clutches. His father was softened towards Islam due to captivity in Badr, but he hadn't yet embraced Islam. So what happened then was, few years later, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees an amazing dream. What was that dream? He sees himself, his Mubarak self, and his Ummah performing Umrah. So Sahaba were elated when they got the news. The dreams of the Anbiya alayhim as-salam are true. Sahaba got ready. It was the sixth year after Hijrah, and a large exodus of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Different reports, either 1400 or 1500 Sahaba journeyed with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to perform this amazing journey of Umrah. En route, the camel of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam halted. So Sahaba were perturbed that has Qaswa, that was the name of the camel, has it become stubborn? Khala'at al-Qaswa. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. Qaswa is not defiant or stubborn, but habasaha habisul fil. Allah, who is in control, who stopped the elephant of Abraha from demolishing Kaaba, Allah has held the camel back. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to share these sentiments with you. And what were these sentiments? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Muslims, remember, we are not here to fight. We are here to perform Umrah. And if there's any opportunity of a peace treaty, we will accept it. Sahaba got the sentiments clearly and they continued on this journey and they camped right at an area called Hudaybiyah. Here the Meccans were not prepared to let the Muslims in. But interestingly, the chapter of the Quran Kareem that discusses this entire event is Suratul Fath. Subhanallah. Suratul Fath details the events that unraveled during Hudaybiyah. Now Muslims, Hudaybiyah and thereafter. So Muslims remained in this area for a period of time. There was no water. Subhanallah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his spear into a spring and it gushed with water. And he also placed his Mubarak hands. This is all in Sahih Bukhari. He placed his hands and water gushed from the Mubarak hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine how amazing. How amazing is the fortune of Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. They got to drink water that emanated from the Mubarak hands of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, there was discussions to and fro. The Meccans were not prepared to allow the Muslims to perform Umrah. In time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consulted with Sahaba radiyallahu anhum to send someone in as a diplomat to speak to them. Explain to them that we're not here to fight. The decision was made that Hazrat Uthman would go into Makkah. Now, Hazrat Uthman was a senior Sahabi of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he came from a noble family, the Banu Umayyah clan, and he was well off. So subhanAllah, we learn from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that when Allah gave them position, they used it to convince people towards the truth. Hazrat Uthman went in. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to him, "O Uthman, explain to them that we're not here to fight. Allow us to perform Umrah." And O Uthman radiallahu anhu, give them da'wah to Islam. And O Uthman, go visit the downtrodden, suppressed Muslims who are in incarceration and give them good news that Allah's help is coming soon. So Hazrat Uthman entered Makkah with these duties. He went to meet the Meccans in their parliament. He explained this to them. They said, "Okay, we'll discuss and we'll give you our response. But while you await our response, why don't you perform tawaf and have the Kaaba to yourself?" Hazrat Uthman said, "Never. Never can I perform tawaf and benefit from the precincts of the Kaaba until my Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam does so." Subhanallah. There was a rumor outside Makkah in Hudaybiyah that few people said that, "Oh, Uthman has the Kaaba to himself." Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam overheard them and said, "I know my Uthman. He would never do so without me." It's not that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited him from doing so. It was just his respect for Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he gave the Meccans da'wah also, and then he went to meet the suppressed Muslims. Whoever of the mushrikeen then was sent from the parliament to speak to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and come into the environment of the Muslims at Hudaybiyah, they were amazed to see the beauty of Islam in the company of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Like Urwat ibn Mas'ud, a Thaqafi who's from the seniors of Ta'if, he saw the amazing love Sahaba have for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He returned with an amazing report. He says, "I've been as a diplomat to the emperors of Rome and Persia and Abyssinia, but I've never seen a people love their Nabi and their leader like the Sahaba love Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam." Urwa bin Mas'ud wasn't a Muslim yet, but later on, this also had an impact in bringing him to Islam. Finally, they sent different people. Then they sent Suhail bin Amr. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw him approach from a distance, he said to Sahaba, "They want a peace treaty when they had decided to send this man." So Suhail comes, he was welcomed, there was a discussion, and now they agree to a peace treaty. What was the clause of the treaty? Ceasefire for 10 years. What else? Certain things were against the Muslims, but Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave in. What they wanted? "You all cannot perform Umrah this year." Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Fine. Next year we'll allow you all, but 3 days only. Ceasefire, 10 years. Any Muslim in Makkah cannot be accommodated in Medina, Munawwara. Anyone in Medina who denounces Islam and wants Makkah can be accommodated in Makkah." So the Meccans felt they are taking the upper hand in the clause. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam agreed, and there were a few other clauses as well. Whoever wants to join the party of the Muslims can do so. Whoever wants to join the party of the mushrikeen can do so. Banu Khuza'a joined the Muslims. Banu Bakr joined the mushrikeen. In this, before the document was signed, because now it was to be dictated and enshrined, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dictates, "This is an agreement between the two parties, agreed upon by Muhammad Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Suhail bin Amr." Suhail says, "No. You cannot write Muhammad Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because we don't accept you as Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam." So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "What do you want me to write?" He says, "You write there Muhammad bin Abdullah." He says to Hazrat Ali, "Rub it out." Hazrat Ali says, "Never will I rub out Muhammad Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam." So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam removed it himself. And it was written, "Muhammad bin Abdullah, هذا ما قاضى عليه محمد بن عبد الله سهيل بن عمر." So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for peace, he gave in to win them over, because Allah knows what is best. But look at the Quran Kareem. In this chapter, Al-Fath, there's a verse where Allah says, "Muhammadur Rasulullah, wal-ladhina ma'ahu ashidda'u ala al-kuffari ruhama'u baynahum." The chapter that praises Rasulullah and his Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhum. This verse is denoting that you refuse to write in your document Muhammad Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Your document that is temporary, Allah enshrines in his kalam that Muhammadur Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In this, who arrives on the scene? There was a man who escaped from incarceration. He got out of the dungeon. He had shackles. He had boulders tied to him. And he ran with injuries. And he made it in the precincts of the Muslims. Everyone was emotional to see this man. Who is he? Abu Jandal. He made it. He sees the Muslims. Muslims were elated. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "O Suhail, we haven't signed the document yet. The clause says no one from Makkah can be accommodated in Medina Munawwarah. But we haven't signed yet. I only want this man. After that, the document, the treaty is enacted. Just give me this man." Suhail said, "Never." Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "I insist, Suhail, I want him. After that, we won't accept anyone in Medina Munawwara according to the clause of the treaty because we haven't signed yet." Suhail said, "No." SubhanAllah, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam emphatically said, "Suhail, give me this one man." Suhail said, "Then the treaty ends and there's no agreement." Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tried hard for this Sahabi, radiallahu anhu, our brother, the brother of the Muslims, the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum. But Suhail refused. What is most astonishing to know is the fact that Abu Jandal is none other than the son of Suhail. This is the love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has for his ummah. Even more than a father loves his child, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants Abu Jandal radiallahu anhu, and Suhail refuses. Allahu Akbar. Suhail drags his son back. All the Sahaba are crying. All of them are emotional. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Allah will open his way." And the Muslims now are so distraught, so disheartened, pining. They can't understand. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said certain things. They didn't, because of the state of grief, they didn't actually understand what Allah's beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying. He went to Hazrat Ummu Salama, Hind bint Abi Umayya radiallahu anha, his Mubarak wife, Ummul Mu'mineen, and he consulted with her. "What do we do in this situation?" She said, "Oh Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are in a situation. You just do what you have to do and everyone will emulate." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went, he shaved his Mubarak hair. Hazrat Kharash bin Umayya shaved his Baal Mubarak radiallahu anhu, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then sacrificed his animal, and all the Sahaba kiram radiallahu anhum did the same. Everyone did the same. Now they're going back to Medina Munawwara. Sahaba are emotional. The verses of the Quran Kareem were revealed. After A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Inna Fatahna Laka Fatham Mubina, Inna Fatahna Laka Fatham Mubina, Liaghfira Laka Allahu Ma Taqaddama Min Dhanbika Wa Ma Ta'akhkhar, Wa Yutimma Ni'matahu عليك ويهديك صراطا مستقيما. What is the first state? Verily, we have granted thee a clear victory. So Sahaba are wondering, is this a victory? Is this a conquest? So they asked Hazrat Abu Bakr. Hazrat Abu Bakr says, "It is. Allah knows best. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Allah's Nabi." He explained to them, and there were few who were newer, and they asked, "Oh Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, didn't Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say we'll perform Umrah?" Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr said to them, "Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to you, you will perform Umrah, but did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say you'll perform Umrah this year?" So they listened, and then Hazrat Abu Bakr explained to them, "You will perform, but it'll happen when Allah wants it to happen." So subhanallah, Allah was making the tarbiyat of the ummah. Allah was making the tarbiyat of the Muslims. That accept Allah's decision and Allah will make the right thing happen at the right time. That's why Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "There has never been a conquest in Islam like Sulhul Hudaybiyah." But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, and our minds, and he's referring to, obviously, he says, we were short-sighted. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's farsight and foresight is so amazing. Now, in this, subhanAllah, this chapter 48 of the Quran Kareem speaks of this conquest, and speaks of this Hudaybiyah, and speaks of the expeditions thereafter. But now there was a peace treaty. Muslims returned. It's Dhul Qa'dah. They returned to Medina Munawwara. From here now, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends Sahaba out in the path of Allah for dawah to the different kings of the world. Sahaba take the epistles, the letters of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the different kings, to the Roman emperor, to the Persian emperor, to Syria, to Bahrain, to Oman, to Abyssinia, to where and where in the world Sahaba took the message of Islam with the letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Sahaba's journeys are so amazing. They went to give da'wah. Hazrat Dihya goes to the Roman emperor. He was in Syria at the time. How he conversed with him, how he spoke to him, how he convinced him, how he then went to meet their senior patriarch, Dughatir, someone like the Pope, a senior person, but this is the patriarch. And he was amazed at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's letter. Dughatir actually embraced Islam. And then he refused to come out to the church to preach. First week, second week. Afterwards, when they insisted that he come out, he came out dressed in sunnah, looking like the Muslims. And he then preached to the congregation, and he was shaheed there and then. Look at Sahaba's sacrifice, subhanallah. So like that, Sahaba went to the countries of the world. And then, subhanallah, there was this peace treaty. And Muslims now concentrated greatly on da'wah. But what also took place was the expedition of Khaybar, which we should discuss inshallah at some time, because they planned to attack the Muslims in Medina in the absence of the men. That's how dirty and dastardly were this community. They wanted to attack the women and children in the absence of the Muslims. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam marched with Sahaba to Khaybar in the beginning of the 7th year or late 6th year. But what happened now in the short span? Sahaba were concentrating on da'wah because there were no anticipated attacks from the side of the Meccans. So there was peace, a peace treaty. But what happened to Abu Basir and Abu Jandal? What happened? Abu Jandal couldn't bear it in Makkah anymore. Abu Basir, radiallahu anhu, so he escaped. Where does he go? He comes to Medina Munawwara. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sees him. Oh, Abu Basir, you came. But you know what, Abu Basir? We are not allowed to accept you. This is part of the clause of the treaty. He was quite emotional because just then soldiers came from Makkah demanding the return of Abu Basir. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, we can't hold you back or keep you back here because this is part of the peace treaty. Anyway, he goes back with them. But he was not part of the Medinan society, so he was not part of the clause. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam returned him. That was the duty of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As Abu Basir returns with the two soldiers, he now is not prepared to go with them because the way they tortured him in the dungeon there, he's not prepared to go back to their incarceration and imprisonment. So as they stopped for meals, he's praising one of their swords. He's saying, what a sharp sword. You know, he says, yes, you know what I've done with it? I've went here, I've been there. You know how many people I sliced and killed with the sword here? He said, oh, let me see. He takes the sword and he finishes that with his sword. The other guy ran away. Abu Basir radiallahu anhu realized, it's a long story, cutting it short, he can't go to Medina. He tried again, but he wasn't accommodated there. But he heard, he got a hint from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that Allah will open a way for you. So what he did was, he went to Siful Bahr, the seashore, and he established a colony there. And what happened here was, now, any of the Muslims who were leaving Makkah, and they had nowhere to go, they couldn't come to Medina Munawwara, they used to join Hazrat Abu Basir at the seashore, and they established a colony and a town and a community there, subhanallah. Now there was a peace treaty between Makkah Mukarramah and Medina Munawwara, but there was no peace treaty with this colony and the Meccan society. And those living in this colony were suppressed and oppressed by the Meccans for a very long time. So they wanted to take their revenge. So whenever caravans were going past, they would raid those caravans. And this happened for a long time where the Meccans couldn't bear it anymore. Then they write to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam begging that please, that other part of the clause, that one clause, that one condition that said anyone from Makkah cannot be accommodated in Medina Munawwara, but anyone from Medina can be welcomed in Makkah. Can we forfeit this one clause? Because You know, they actually were concealing the fact that they couldn't bear this challenge that Hazrat Abu Basir, and who joined him, the main man, his right-hand man was Abu Jandal, radiallahu anhum. Allah give us tawfiq, Allah enable us to please him, Allah enable us to obey him, Allah enable us to learn his deen, may Allah enable us to share his deen with humanity in totality, like the Sahaba kiram radiallahu anhum did. We are in the discussion of the great Sahabi Hazrat Abu Jandal and the great Sahabi Hazrat Abu Basir, because Hazrat Abu Jandal became shaheed in the lands of Sham. We will continue. Let's aspire to inspire before we expire, because every day could be our last. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.